ABC Radio Australia.
Australia's Treasurer says the government is close to signing a deal with the ANZ Bank to keep all of its Pacific branches open. ANZ has the largest Pacific presence out of all the Australian banks, but like many others, it has been reducing its footprint in the region, closing 10 branches over the last 5 years. It's part of a larger trend that has seen the region lose around 80% of so-called corresponding banks over the last decade. Pacific leaders have raised it as an important issue, and earlier this year, Australian Treasurer Jim Chalmers told the Pacific Banking Forum his government would support regional banking systems. And at a speech last night, he announced more help. So joining us with the details is a foreign affairs reporter, Stephen Gedgetts. With that, I say good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Aggie.
Appreciate your time this morning. Hey, look, what did Mr. Chalmers actually have to say last night?
It was actually a little bit earlier, the night before last. This was at a speech at the AIIA, the Australian Institute of International Affairs. Now, it was a very wide-ranging and broad speech, but halfway through it, he did drop this little nugget of information that the government was now very close, as he put it, to finalising a deal with ANZ to keep its Pacific operations running. Now, for context, ANZ, as you mentioned, has got the largest Pacific network of all the Australian banks by quite a fair margin, about 19 branches, I think it is, across nine countries. And according to ANZ, they are responsible for an awful lot of banking business in the region, holding some $2 billion in assets and loans. So it is a major player. It has been, as you mentioned, reducing its footprint despite the size of its presence. So the fact that the government has now struck this deal with ANZ, or is very close to striking this deal with ANZ, to ensure that it keeps all of those branches open, is likely to be something that's going to be welcomed by Pacific people, but also by Pacific governments around the region.
But why is it such an important issue, though, for the Australian government?
Well, Australia, like many Pacific countries in the Pacific Islands Forum, is really worried by the fact that many banks have been reducing their footprint or have been, as you mentioned, cutting correspondent banking relations. Now, this gets very technical very quickly, Aggie, but basically correspondent banking relationships are those relationships that allow banks with a presence in the Pacific to maintain relationships with outside banks that then help them to do things like transact in other currencies. Now, that's critical for the flow of finance around the region. And if all of those correspondent banking relationships fall over, then it becomes very difficult or impossible for Pacific individuals and governments to do many of the basic things they need to do. For Pacific governments, it gets very hard, for example, to access foreign exchange or the capital that they need to do the business of government. For individuals, it becomes harder and harder and eventually, in theory, impossible for them to do things like send and receive remittances. And as you know, Aggie, this is a critical source of money and finance for a whole lot of people and governments throughout the region. So it does present a real challenge to the Pacific, which is why Pacific governments, Australia, the US, multilateral institutions like the World Bank have all been trying to work on solutions to staunch the flow, if you like, of these services, and to ensure that Pacific governments can continue to access the finance that they need.
Yeah, let's talk about finance. I mean, Stephen, was there any mention from Mr. Chalmers as to how much money may be involved in helping ANZ to maintain its Pacific presence?
No. We have been told that there is no direct subsidy being paid to ANZ. So this isn't like some other deals that we've seen recently where the Australian government has basically stumped up hard, cold cash in order to ensure that banks to ensure that companies and Australian companies maintain a meaningful presence in the region. The most famous example of that, of course, was Digicel, when we saw a few years ago the Australian government hand over almost $1 billion in taxpayer support to Telstra for it to buy Digicel, the Pacific telco, allegedly because there was a murmur that the Chinese bidder might have been interested. Mm. But this is not a direct subsidy like that. What guarantees or what promises is the government making at this stage? We simply don't know, because one, the deal hasn't been struck. quite yet anyway. And two, I think these are probably fairly commercially sensitive points. My assumption and the assumption of people who follow these things closely is that it must involve, at the very least, the Australian government offering some sort of guarantee, indemnifying banks against either the risk or the cost of implementing anti-money laundering rules and that sort of thing. This has been a big part of the story, Aggie, because the Pacific markets are quite small, because they have individual prescriptions around things like the way their systems operate, and because Australian banks have to now enforce pretty tough international standards around things like anti-money laundering rules or rules to stop the flow of money to terrorist organisations. All of these things together put a real big, really substantial burden on banks. And they've been complaining for a while about how it's simply not profitable for them to stay in the business. So our assumption, given there's no money changing hands, is that the government must be making some sort of move to reduce or either the risk of anti-compliance or the cost of compliance. And that must be a part of what's been agreed to. But we do not know for certain, simply because the government and ANZ at this stage are not making the terms of this looming agreement public.
Yeah, which just to get a bit more elaboration on that, because you were mentioning the flow of finance. But if we're looking through the eyes or the lens of Australia's government, again, what's the ultimate risk, though, if Western banks keep leaving the Pacific?
Well, the big risk is that financial systems fall over, or not fall over entirely, but simply can't function effectively and can't do what they need to do. But of course, there's also a broader strategic risk that the Australian government anyway has at the back of its mind, and that's the prospect of others coming in to fill the vacuum. And at the top of that list, as ever, when it comes, as you know, Aggie, to questions around geostrategic competition in the Pacific, is China, and in particular Chinese state-owned banks like the Bank of China. Now, we're in very early days here. Bank of China at this stage does not have a single branch in the Pacific. It's got one representative office in Papua New Guinea, although we have been told that it's very close now to being granted approval to open a fully fledged branch there. Bank of China has also been sniffing around a few other Pacific markets, including Nauru, which, and this is a stark illustration of some of the risks and difficulties here, faces being unbanked totally by July next year, when Bendigo, its current Australian bank, withdraws. At least that's its plan.
Do you just find that interesting, though, that already with the influence that China already has in the Pacific, that they just already don't have, a banking or financial system in the Pacific? Why it's taking
this
long?
It is interesting, right? One of the reasons might just be that the market is small. It's not a particularly profitable one. So if you're looking to get in, you're probably looking to get in because you're being nudged to do so by, for example, the Chinese government. And that could be, or at least Australia fears it might be, because it sees the presence of Bank of China as another really useful vector of influence, another lever it can pull in its attempts to try and embed itself as a dominant player in the Pacific. Now, that is one of the reasons why Australia is doing everything possible to try and shore up the Australian commercial presence in the region. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's so determined to try and help ANZ to ensure it keeps its banks open. Yes, this is primarily about banking, about financial flows, and about solvency, keeping the wheels of commerce and government turning in the Pacific. But there's undeniably a strategic edge to this as well. And that's one of the reasons, I think, why Australia has been so willing to throw taxpayer money or other forms of support at Australian companies to ensure they stick around.
Love it. Stephen, thank you very much for keeping us across the board on this situation, but appreciate your time this morning.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
No worries. That, of course, is our foreign affairs reporter, Stephen Gidgets, here on Pacific Beat.